welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Well, on today's broadcast, I believe we can finish up the thoughts, the principles that the Lord would have us receive out of the book of Joshua. And I suppose if I could entitle this message, I'd call it a Joshua generation. That's what God is raising up in this hour and in this time and day. We were looking at the 10th chapter of that book, and we were seeing that it was really an Ephesians 3:20 kind of faith that Joshua was evidencing, because he made this outrageous prayer request. He said, "Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon." And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. And in verse 19, he goes on to say, "Stay not, but pursue after your enemies, and smite the hindmost of them. Suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God hath delivered," note, past tense, "them into your hand. And it came to pass, when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter." Remember, this was a 24-hour period where the sun stood still, and they were pursuing their enemies to destroy them utterly. And it said they, when they made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter, till they were consumed, that the rest which remained of them entered into fenced cities, and all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makeda in peace. So, what is going on here? First of all, Joshua commands the hands of God. Actually, it was a prayer, but he actually spoke to the sun and to the moon, and it actually happened, and the course of human history was changed, because the scripture said there was never a day like it before or after where God hearkened unto the voice of a man. Now, why? The important thing we want to look at right now is, why did Joshua pray that? Why did he ask such an amazing thing of God? Because he wasn't satisfied. He was remembering what God had told him before they ever went to battle. In verse 8 of chapter 10, "The Lord said to Joshua, Fear them not, for I have," past tense, "delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee." He was remembering what God said, that not one enemy man was be able to stand before him. And so the sun was going down, and it was, you know, the day was coming to a close. They couldn't fight anymore. I wonder, you know, what we would do in that case. Well, I don't know about you or me, about you, but I might say, well, you know, I'd be quite happy with that. Praise God. God's given us tremendous victory. And you might do the same thing. I mean, after all, it is getting dark. You can't fight when it's dark. You can't be in battle. And so often, we, by not pursuing and carrying through, we let the enemy stay alive in our lives. And God doesn't want an almost victory in our lives. Aren't you tired of having almost freedom? Aren't you tired of being almost free of a besetting sin? Almost getting healed? God is saying that I want to give you complete victory. And furthermore, I want you to stay free. God will give you victory, beloved, if we will do as Joshua, if we will be willing to be bold in faith and know that the battle is not ours, but the Lord's. Remember the hailstones that he rained down. More were killed by the hail than the actual hand-to-hand combat. However, we can't just sit back and fold our hands and say, well, you know, God's going to do it. I'm going to just trust God, because we also have to do our part. God will give victory, but you still have to fight the battle. Remember, he traveled all night to get to Gibeon to rescue the Gibeonites who'd called for help. And so there it's that wonderful parallel of we do all we can and then God will do the rest. Praise God. And what if it didn't work out? Remember in Mark the 5th chapter, there's a pretty amazing portion of scripture there. In Mark the 5th chapter, that's the story of the woman with the issue of blood and Jairus' daughter. And I want to move quickly. Jairus' daughter was dead. And how can we relate that? Well, in our lives, have we ever had dreams die, a vision seem to totally vanish and disappear? And what we see here is that the ruler had come, Jairus had come by name. He was one of the rulers of the synagogue. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and fell at his feet. And he said, "My daughter besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." You see, he had faith. He knew that if Jesus would come, she'd be healed and she'd be all right. And so Jesus went with him. But then there's this interlude, the woman with the issue of blood who touches his garment. And Jesus said, "What's going on? Who touched me?" And there's this interlude of a woman being healed with an issue of blood that she'd had for many years. Now, let's just pause for a moment. Can you imagine what the ruler must have felt when the woman with the issue of blood came up? She was causing him to miss his miracle. Imagine his desperation. I mean, he must have been wringing his hands like, "Jesus, come on, she's so sick, you've got to come before she dies." And in fact, while Jesus is still talking to the woman, what happens? Verse 35, "While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troubleth thou the master any further?" And it was too late. His son had gone down. The battle was over. But what did, instead of getting better, things just got worse. She died. But Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." Beloved, have you tried to believe? Have you tried to hold on to the promises of God? And has the enemy come to you in your own heart? You say, "Why bother anymore?" You know, that little voice that just torments you. Why keep trying? It doesn't do any good anyway. See what you've done in the past, But God is trying to get you past your past. You know, every moment of every day, the enemy is constantly trying to tear down your faith with that taunting remark, "Why bother? It's too late." That's what the members of his household, of the Jairus's household, they came to him and they said, "Just don't bother Jesus anymore. It's over. She didn't make it. It's too bad, but she's dead." note where the disappointment and discouragement comes from. His own house. Can anyone relate to that? Everybody else seems to be getting their miracle, but there you are sitting in the mully grubs and you're fighting despair and discouragement. Everybody else is getting blessed, but God isn't doing anything for me. But what was the answer, beloved? In verse 36, the words of Jesus, he said, "As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue," this is what Jesus said, "Be not afraid, only believe." And I won't read the rest of that, but if you know the story, he went into the damsel, the room she was in, he put everybody out, and he raised her from the dead and restored the 12-year-old to her father. So praise God that there was a mighty miracle that was wrought. And God has miracles for us. What we need to do is what Jesus told Jairus. Ignore what they said. Ignore what the members of your household are saying. Don't bother. Don't bother the ruler. Jesus. And Jesus told the ruler, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." Beloved, we need to have selective hearing. And that's one of the important arsenals in our battery of faith, is to be selective Turn off the voice of the enemy. Turn off the voice of the unbelievers and the disbelievers and the disclaimers that say, oh, you can't do that. You can't have that. Beloved, prayer is being answered. And I believe there's an explosion of faith that is taking place in the lives of many of you that are listening right now. The mighty army of the Lord is on the move. Beloved, you too can cross over into the promised land of fulfillment of God's promises in your life in a way you've never realized before. Remember when God told Joshua and all the host of Israel to cross over the Jordan, enter the promised land? Well, 12 spies were appointed to go into Canaan, examine the land. Remember, that was before they made their trip, return with their report. There were two reports. One said in Numbers 13:31, but the men that went up with him said, we're not able to go up against this people, for they're stronger than we. We saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. And the question was asked of the 10 spies, are we able to go against our enemies in the land and win a victory over them? Their answer was, no, we can't do it. That's what the enemy wants you to say. But the same question was asked of Joshua and Caleb, and their answer, a minority report, to be sure, they said, yes, by God's help, we can do it. Beloved, right now, you might be going through a desperate battle. The dark waters of trial may be swirling around you. The giants of opposition to you and your home might be standing before you. You know, in the natural, you might seem like a grasshopper before such a test, before such a trial. But beloved, hear the word of the Lord. Don't give up. I encourage you to write those prayer needs in, that I can stand with you in prayer. And I believe God is going to stir your faith. Everyone that's listening, I believe God's imparting a measure of faith that you can believe God for those impossible situations in your life. Maybe the majority report concerning your needs and your situation is, well, you know, you can't have it. But the minority report is, yes, with God's help, I can have it and I can do it. You might be a minority, but with God, that makes you a majority. Praise God. The giants of opposition can't stop you. The enemy of your soul can't stop you, because with God's help, you are well able to take the land. Hallelujah. Remember Hebrews 4:6, they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. You might be going through a hard battle, but I believe you will enter into the promised lands of fulfillment, which is God's promises for you in your life, if you will believe. Praise God. Allow me that privilege of standing with you. It's been a joy to minister to you this week. My own faith has been strengthened and encouraged by the word of the Lord. I invite you to write. The announcer will give you that contact information. Thank you for joining me. And until next week, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.